welcome to Encounter, our midweek service of prayer and presence. We're glad you're joining us, whether you're here in the theater or joining us online. We hope this will be a time to pause and take a deep breath and encounter Christ's Spirit among us. This evening, it is our final encounter service of the school year, so we will not be meeting next week or through the summer. We are thinking about what the fall might look like in terms of Wednesday night programming, so be on the lookout for perhaps a survey, or if you have thoughts about Wednesday night programming, I'd love to hear it, so feel free to email me. My email is eracine, E-R-A-C-I-N-E, at westendumc.org. Would love to hear your thoughts. This evening, we have the pleasure of hearing Patrick McAnally. He's a member of our church who's part of the Mosaic class, and he's going to be talking about his encounters with Jesus. So we are thankful that you're here with us, Patrick. And now, would you rise in body or in spirit as we sing our gathering hymn together? Prayer. O God, with thankful hearts we pause this night. Remind us of our grandest hopes. Remind us that the demands and struggles of this world do not have the last word. Remind us that you are the one who was and is yet to come. Open our hearts to the comfort, the challenge, and the mystery of this good news. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. I invite you now to join in our prayer of confession. God of passion, we remember those times we have sought our best interest over what is great and good. God of fidelity, we remember those times when we chose the path of safety over loyalty to your way. God of constant presence, we remember the ways we have wandered from your presence, only to complain that we have been abandoned. God of the cross, for all the ways we have missed the mark, for all of the ways we have come up short, forgive us. Through your grace, bring us back into relationship. Help us find the path again. Amen. even in the face of rebellion and betrayal, even in the face of death and denial, even in the face of fear and despair, God's grace knows no bounds. We are forgiven. We are called back into relationship. We are set back on the path that leads to life. Thanks be to God. Amen. Tonight I'm reading from the book of John, chapter 18, and some from 19 as well. It's a lot of verses, so I'm not going to give you all the details. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Pilate asked him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went out to the Jews again and told them, "I find no case against him." He entered his headquarters again and asked Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. Pilate therefore said to him, "Do you refuse to speak to me? Do you not know that I have power to release you and power to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no power over me unless it had been given to you from above." When Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus outside and sat on the judge's bench at a place called the stone pavement, or in Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation for the Passover, and it was about noon. He said to the Jews, "Here is your king." They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate asked them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but the emperor." Then he handed him over to them to be crucified. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Here we go. We on? Aaron, thank you so much for inviting me to speak tonight. I will be honest with you, I set aside time on Monday evening to prepare for tonight. And that day kind of got thrown off. An incredible tragedy, which I am not going to talk about tonight because I am a crier and I will cry. So I know we're going to say some prayers here in a little bit. But Aaron told me that I could connect what I had to say tonight to the reading, or I could just not, and I am choosing to not. So you'll hear more about that lovely text on Sunday. But I want to talk kind of about how I got here and all of the open hearts and all of the open minds and all of the open doors that this church specifically and a lot of people, several Methodists, in fact, along the way, that showed me Jesus. That was my prompt tonight, was tell us about times you have encountered Jesus. So I'm going to go way back for just a second, and we'll move quickly forward. But I love being at church. My life right now is really busy, and sometimes I'm not here as much as I'd like to be. I'm in New York a lot, but when I am in Nashville, I love being here at West End. My parents gave me that. They were my very first examples of Jesus in my life. And I grew up Church of Christ, which that means that you are at church three times a week. Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. And sometimes later on Sunday night and other times during the week. But they gave me a love for God, for Scripture, and for being in community with people. And that, I think, is probably what I'm most deeply grateful for from them that brought me ultimately to this place. Fast forward about, almost 16 or 17 years. My very best friend, her name is Mary Catherine McAnally Scott. So we are not related because we did date back in the day. But she was my first United Methodist friend. And she introduced me to her mother, or her grandmother, Donna McAnally, who gave me a book called Seeing Gray in a World of Black and White, which is written by Adam Hamilton, which fast forward to, when were we there, Carol? 9 months ago, who knows? I'm sitting in his sanctuary at Resurrection with a bunch of other Methodists talking about how we move forward. And I remember when she gave me that book, we had just had a very robust conversation about something in Scripture, and I had this very intense doctrine, and she was gentle with me, and she was very kind with me, and she said, "Are you sure you're right?" And I said, at the time, "Well, I'm pretty sure, right? I'm probably right." And she handed me this book, and I kept it. I don't think I ever gave it back to her, unfortunately, but she probably wouldn't be too upset. But she was one of those people who very early in my life helped me understand that there are a lot of people in the world that have a lot of different opinions, and that Jesus is big enough and our faith is wide enough to hold all of them. So we dated in high school, a little bit in college, and when I was a freshman in college, David Lowe's Watson, is that his name? He was the, I think, interim pastor here at the time, and I fell in love with this very academic way that he was preaching. It was very different from where I grew up, and I had a few different conversations with him, and again, he was opening up my mind. And I initially had the heart from Donna. I had my mind opened by him. And there are a couple of other pastors that I met with during that time who talked with me as I had suddenly my world was starting to shake. I was asking a lot more questions. And they did this thing that the Methodists do where we are very okay with sitting with questions and having a diversity of opinions, which there's a lot of wonderful people in the Church of Christ and the tradition where I grew up, but that's not always the tradition that we had there. So I found Jesus in one of the ways that I found Jesus was having these people who were willing to sit with me and talk with me as I was kind of figuring out my faith during that time of my life. Brian Trauger, I remember, I don't think I still have the note, but he was one of the people who greeted me when I walked in the door one day. And I go in, I sit in the sanctuary. I always sit toward the front. We were always near the front kind of people. I kind of have a spot so I know I can see Carol when we're. I try not to make too much eye contact because I will cry. But it was just more open doors of people who were so welcoming. And in that time of my life, I was also coming out, and I was coming out to myself first and coming from a place where, again, lots of wonderful, loving people, I could not be myself. And that's really hard and really, really scary. And I looked around and I saw people, I saw couples, men and women. And I was like, wow, this place, they really do have open hearts, open minds, and open doors. Fast forward many years, I was popping around to different churches. Every once in a while, I would come in and I'd stop in at West End. And then there was Michael Williams. And I got this just incredible storyteller of a man that looked a little bit like a friar. as many of you, I'm sure, will remember. And I was coming back more and more because I was so drawn in to the way that he was preaching and what he had to say and his just unbelievable kindness that I know so many of us very, very deeply miss. Another relationship, start to really figure out, oh, this is not going to work. I am not a straight person. And I really lost my faith for a moment. A couple of years in my life where I was kind of popping around, going to a church here, going to a church there. And then I came in one day and I heard Carol preaching. And I think every Sunday in between that time and even into last Sunday, I have... I can't look at you. I can't do it. I can't look at her during the service either. It's not good. There's always a word for me here at West End. And so I started coming back. I was in the process of coming out to my family, and I relied so, so deeply on the way that the people of this congregation and some other, again, Methodists in my life who I still love very deeply and am close with, to show me Jesus and to make sure that I knew that and that I believed it. And I'm going to miss some names here, but obviously the pastoral staff and Aaron and Brandon and Stacy and Maggie. And then a special place where we've talked about this, Matt, where I see Jesus. I love worship. And there's a place where we're coming after the offertory, right? And it's the little, you're riffing in between the doxology. And sometimes it's like popular music. You just got to listen for it. And no, never, never. But I find Jesus in those little moments where the organ's building up, and if you're ever sitting down, you put your feet flat on the floor and you can feel the sanctuary kind of rattling. I find Jesus in those moments. And as I had a conversation with Aaron about joining the church, and you were like, I've got some places where I think you might want to be plugged in. And then I really understood what it meant to be a Methodist, where they said, you can come be Jesus with us, and we're going to put you on some committees, right? The Way Forward team was really my first West End family, and Anita and Ty and Brian and Rodney and Jane and Kathy and Tom and Lori and many other people who were part of that group, that really was right in the throes of when I was coming out and experiencing a lot of difficulty with people that I love very deeply. And in some brief moments of absence with those people, I had just a whole big bunch of Jesus people wrapping their arms around me that made me know and believe the way that I was loved. It's our connection is where I feel Jesus. It's where I see Jesus. I had a conversation with for work for MDHA today, and somebody mentioned Ingrid McIntyre. And I end up on the phone with her 15 minutes later. And I bumped into Sean Backer on the way in the door, and we just realized that we're both here at West End just now for the first time. And she's one of our community partners at work. And seeing the way that everything weaves together, I think that the way that so many people have shown up for me and the way that you all are here, some of you online, I don't know where the camera is, I think I'm looking up there. The way that we show up for each other, the way we show up for this community, where we show up at Pride, where so many people have been harmed by the church, and we show Jesus to them out in public, and we wave the flag, and we say that God loves everyone unconditionally. That is where I see Jesus. One of the moments in worship where I always just get an incredible chill is in part of our response during the sacrament of baptism. And we respond to liturgists and say, with God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. And this is what West End and so many of you have done for me and where I've experienced Jesus, is that we will surround this person with a community of love and forgiveness that they may grow in service with others. We will pray for them to be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life. So you asked me to talk about how I've experienced Jesus, and from when I started in this life into where I am now, that's how I'm deeply, deeply grateful for each of you. And please continue what you're doing, because in this so deeply, deeply broken world, we need it now more than ever. Thank you.
Thank you, Patrick. I wanted to this evening just acknowledge what happened on Monday here in Nashville at the Covenant School and provide some space for us for prayer and reflection. So I'm going to offer a prayer, and then as Matt plays, I'll invite you, if you'd like to come forward and light a candle, you're welcome to do that, and then we will close. Let us pray. God, our comforter, our community has been shattered this week by the tragedy at the Covenant School. Scripture tells us that you draw near to the brokenhearted, and so this night we lay before you our myriad thoughts and feelings, knowing that you receive them with love and grace. Oh God, we are angry that this has happened yet again in a school, yet again to innocent people, yet again to children. So much is unknown about this situation. We have so many questions, and we do not fully understand how and why this could happen. We are anxious. And we are worried because we have lost our sense of safety. We feel helpless to prevent such an atrocity from happening again. But most of all, oh God, we are sad. We grieve with those who have lost family members. We grieve with the children who have lost friends and the educators who have lost colleagues. We grieve with young people across our city who have been traumatized by this tragedy. We grieve with the first responders who risked their lives to prevent more harm, and the medical personnel who did all they could to help the victims. And we grieve with the family and friends of the perpetrator. We grieve with all of these people, O God, because they belong to us. Because we belong to each other. Help us to remember that they also belong to you. You have created them and loved them. Draw near to each of these as you draw near to us, and grant all of us comfort and strength in the days ahead. May your peace that passes all understanding guard our hearts and our minds, that our anger and anxiety, our confusion and our collective grief might be transformed into compassion and commitment to change. O God, give us vision and courage to work toward a world in which children can attend school without fear, in which people who have mental illness can receive the care and support that they need, in which weapons of war are turned into instruments of peace. All of this we ask in the name of the Prince of Peace, the one who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you to come forward as you'd like in prayer. Thank you. Would you rise in body or in spirit as we sing our closing song, Were You There?
Thank you.
causes me to tremble. Whether you go forth this night with anger, or with anxiety, or with sadness, or even a bit of joy, may you go knowing that Christ goes with you. You are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.